Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David. I minister to the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. This is June the 27th of 2025, or it is the third day of the fourth lunar month of 2029. Our service day is going to be taken from two time degrees, number 27 of Ichi Hara. It says chronically ill with too much knowledge and too little understanding. That sounds like a good study. We're going to have a prayer and then we're going to go into our study. Okay, chronically ill with too much knowledge. All right, we're going to Texas address, February the 14th, 1948, of Ichi Hara. So as we go into it, we pray that you will bless us to understand things that we need to understand, all things. For the illustration of the subject, as I studied this afternoon, let us take for example the book which the denomination has put out on the Daniel and the Revelation, for the two most valued books of the Bible, and that word should be valued, not invalued. Okay, let's do it again. Let's start all over. Chronically ill with too much knowledge and too little understanding. February the 14th, 1948, by the Ichi Hara. Okay, for the illustrating of the subject of our study, let us take for example of the book that the Seventh-day Adventist denomination has put out on the Daniel and the Revelation as the two most valued books of the Bible. For the book which I have in mind was originally entitled Thoughts on the Daniel and the Revelation. It is written in the scholarly fashion and so convincing are its contents that the thousands of copies have been all over the world, and a number of the languages. Anyone that can write a book like it evidently has the great knowledge. But we should, however, examine for the seeing how much of the understanding is there on the books of the Daniel and of the Revelation themselves. Take for example Revelation chapter 12, where it speaks of the 12 star crowned women. For the SDA in the book 1 mentioned explains that this woman is a symbol of the Christian church, that means the apostolic church that they renamed Christian at Antioch. It's actually the Antiochian Apostolic Church of the 12 apostles, that her son, Tertullian, is that of the Gospel of Yeshua, and the public seem to take it in a very nicely. But if the brethren were asked the question, how could the woman be a symbol of the Christian church, which Christy Hollis actually called the Catholic church during the Dark Ages, that had taken captive the backsliders of the apostolic church of the first century. And that's why they call themselves Christian. And at the same time, be the Yahshua's mother. They will have a time answering for Yahshua himself, brought the apostolic church into the being 30 or more years after he was born. Consequently, she could not be his mother. And if they were asked, how could the woman's son clothing symbolize the Christian church, those with the Gospel of the Spirit, as you contend, they would have a hard time answering, for she was clothed with the sun. Before a Christ, that would be Yahshua in our language, was born, and before the Gospel, and that would be the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20. Even came into being. Were these questions put to the brethren, I am sure they would become profoundly confused in trying to answer. But the fact that no one ask these questions shows that there is altogether too little understanding throughout Christendom. Again, you cannot deny the fact that the denomination has made a very scholarly exposition of the seven trumpets, of the sign of two sets and the intricate symbolism, popping their explanation of it with the commentaries and history, and making the people take it as nicely as they do. By their scholarly method, though, they centered, they contend that the locusts, which were released as soon as the heavenly star unlocked the bottomless pit at the sounding of the fifth trumpet, Revelation 9, 1-3, are symbolical of the armies of the Mohammedans, that would be the Muslims. This they do in spite of the fact that the locusts were not to kill anybody, but only to torment those who had not the seal of the Yahweh in their foreheads, whereas the Mohammedans killed everybody that stood against them, especially the Christians. In other words, there was apostatized apostolics that were once peacekeepers, and actually were once identified as Jews in the tribe of Judah. That's who these Christians were at one time, those who had the seal. Moreover, the brethren explained that the 200 million horses and horsemen that were to kill, a third part of men, Revelation 9:18, are symbolical of a Mohammedan cavalry. Although the Mohammedans never had such a large cavalry in all their existence. Furthermore, John, as the revelator, plainly tells that the horses' tails were like the serpent, and their heads as the heads of the lion, a belching fire, smoke, and brimstone. Contrary to these facts, the brethren said that the horses were common Arabian horses, thus the Turks armed with the guns were riding them, thus John failed to detect that the fire, smoke, and brimstone came from the guns, not from the horses' mouths. Okay, it says, for I say, for one, to so garble the scriptures and yet make people believe that he is thus unfolding the truth, he must have great ability, but too little understanding of the fact that if the John was left to plunder in this part of his vision, he could have been left to plunder all through the revelation. And that for anyone who thus voices his opinion of the scriptures is not building, but tearing down faith in all of the prophets, causing one to say that after the causing one to say that if the scriptures be so imperfect as they make them appear to be, then what good are they, and how can we find the truth and be saved by it? For if the prophets themselves could not tell the facts, then how can any of us do so thousands of years after the time? Since the brethren have not been able to see this, and since no one who has studied the exposition of them been able to either, then does it not appear unto you, that although there is much knowledge everywhere, there is very little understanding anywhere. Dealing with the situation similar to this, Paul declared, I say, for one, to so garble the scriptures and yet make people believe that he is thus unfolding the truth, he must have great ability, but too little understanding of the fact that if the John the Revelator was left to blunder in this part of his vision, he could have been left to blunder all through the revelation. And that for anyone who thus voices his opinion of the scriptures is not building, but tearing down faith in all of the prophets, causing one to say that if the scriptures be so imperfect as they make them appear to be, then what good are they, and how can we find the truth and be saved by the truth? For if the prophets themselves could not tell the facts, then how can any of us so do so? Thousands of the years after their time. Since the brethren have not been able to see this, and since no one who has studied of their expositions of them been able to either, then does it not appear unto you that although there is much knowledge everywhere, there is very little understanding anywhere. Dealing with a situation similar unto this, Paul declared. 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto the spiritual, but as unto the carnal, even as unto the babes in the Asherah. Here Paul reproved those whose knowledge seemed to be great, but their understanding dull. Those who had not spiritually advanced commensurate with the time, who could not stick strictly to what the Word says, were not developed into full-grown untypical apostolic believers, or as Richie Howard called them, a Christian, he said. He was therefore urged to say in 1 Corinthians 3:2, I have fed you with the milk and not with the meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet. Now are you able? For the Paul was disappointed with the progress. which the Corinthians had made, for they were still unable to take strong meat. Concretely speaking, he said, 1 Corinthians 3:3-4, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are you not carnal? And yet, and walk as men? For while one says, I am of the Paul, and another, I am of the Apollos, are you not carnal? By taking sides, some for the Paul and some for the Apollos, they were actually accepting what Yahweh has sent to one messenger and rejecting what he has sent to the other messenger. This you will see even more vividly in the verses which follow. In 1 Corinthians 3:5-7. Who then is Paul? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by the whom ye believe, even as the Yahweh gave unto every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but the Yahweh gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but the Yahweh that giveth of the increase. For Yahweh is everything, and a man has his appointment, only his mouthpiece. 1 Corinthians 3:8-9. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according unto his own labor. For we are laborers together with the Yahweh. You are the Yahweh's husbandry. You are the Yahweh's building. This side chosen was running the Christians, or the apostolics in the Paul's day, and it is, let's do that again. For the side chosen was ruining the apostolic believers in the Paul's day, and it is ruining them in our day. That is, that people are sitting their affections on them, who bring them the knowledge of the plan of the salvation through faith in the blood of Yahshua, which they call the gospel, rather than on the one who sends them with the plan of salvation by teaching the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. And worse, and this is the fact that multitudes are sitting them their affections even on men who have not a spark of the inspiration, men who are not sent by the Yahweh at all, but who are running loose of their own accord. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according unto the grace of Yahweh which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builder thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For the apostolic life is, as it were, a building under the construction. One messenger of the Yahweh lays the foundation, another builds thereupon. Thus he, no one messenger is given all of the material with which to build. Consequently, if anyone should choose to give heed unto this or unto that messenger instead of to Yahweh and unto all of his servants as he himself sent them, one after another, that one will certainly be left with the insufficient building material and consequently without the acquirement which he needs to have at the coming of the Yahshua. 1 Corinthians 3:11-18. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is the Yahshua. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by the fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what work it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, just so as by the fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Yahweh, and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of Yahweh, him shall Yahweh destroy, for the temple of Yahweh is holy. Which temple ye are, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Here we are told that the series wood, hay, stubble, brought in by the man whom the Yahweh has not sent, not in stars such as I called your attention to at the beginning. Tears which appear to arise from a great store of the knowledge that which are devoid of the Spirit, or as you already see, rubbish on which the fire of Yahweh flies and the souls of men starve. And again we are told that the worldly wisdom is foolishness with the Yahweh, and that if we wish our structure of the truth to withstand the storm, we need to throw out the rubbish and take all the Yahweh sin materials as we continue building. 1 Corinthians 3:19-20. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with the Yahweh. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Yahshua knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. All right, it says, since the wisdom of this world is foolishness with the Yahweh, we had better have nothing to do with it and quit taking sides, one for the Luther, another for Wesley, still another for Campbell or White, but we had better stand with the Yeshua and accept all of the truth from all of his servants he chooses to send. Otherwise, when we arrive at the door, he will have to say to us, depart from me, I never knew you. 1 Corinthians 3:21-22. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. The glory in man, whether it be in self or in another, is to treat yourself of everything. Take, for example, the Jews. They were determined to be of the Moses, and as they saw it, to accept the prophets or even Yahshua unto them, it meant to give up Moses. As a result, rather than all things being theirs, they lost everything, even Moses. And where are they today? For the wood, hay, and stubble, which they piled up on the structure of the truth after the Moses left them, has long been swept away by the fire of the truth of the Holy Spirit. For the only safe way to build is with the truth sent from the throne of Yahweh. This is how Moses, the prophets, and the apostles build, and this is how we must build. Moses, for example, founded the structure of the truth on the solid rock of the creation, the Genesis on the work of him who created the world, and that's in Hebrews 1:1. For the prophets after him, also the apostles, continued building on the same foundation, not on the theories of the priests and rabbis, the so-called religious educators of that day, and that is why their structure of the church stands today firmer than ever before. Knowledge, you see, devoid of the divine understanding, is as devastating to the soul as this fire let loose in a house that is built of wood and hay. Let us, therefore, no longer be side choosers, but come to the table which Yahweh has spread so abundantly with the spiritual food, and unbiasedly and free from the prejudice, feast to the full, refresh our souls and strengthen our backbone. With the good understanding, so that we may be able to stand against the chronic ills of the worldly knowledge, that we overcome temptation and the strength of the mighty one, and be permitted to have a part in the proclaiming of the message when it shall swell into the loud cry. This brings us end of number 27. Let us close now with a song.